This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
That's when I decided, you know, maybe I should do art. I thought art was easy. I thought art was something that I could just not study. I just doodle something and I could get my paper and just get it over with. And I got into a classical animation program in Canada.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Visiting our fair city is someone who draws more than just pencil lines. He draws cartoons. Cartoons whose cute messages have gone around the world. Andrew Howe, the creator of HJ Story, which found worldwide life through Kickstarter. Andrew has published two volumes of his HJ Story with help from pledges through the crowdfunding site. He has just published his third. Andrew, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me here.
Where did you get your drawing skills?
I've been doodling ever since I was young, and then I think I just kept drawing. It's hard to answer the question, how did I get drawing skills?
Well, did you go to school to learn how to draw? Because looking at the works that you have done, which are nonetheless cartoons, but you know, to draw cartoons, it's not just like, I've got a pencil, therefore I can draw.
Yeah, the funny thing is I actually never used to draw this type of cute cartoon. I used to, I actually worked in the game industry, and then I drew like illustrations for the really serious type. Actually, like nothing cartoony at all. Like the stuff that you see, like for example, Dungeons and Dragons, and like
those are very detailed kind of drawings.
Right. Before I went to Korea, when I was in Canada, I used to do some work for Marvels. I used to do some work for Capcom, like the video games and comics. HJ Story is something that started off as really casual. I was just sick of drawing the really serious stuff, and I just started doing these little things just to take a break from my work, and it somehow became what it is now. Yeah.
What did you study while you were in college?
Well, a little bit long story, but I started with computer science with, you know, Asian parents' computer. That was a thing to be 10 years ago, and I got so sick of it. It was just not me. Like, I think deep inside my personality is kind of the type that really seeks for freedom and creativity. So I dropped out and I flipped burger for 2 years.
When you say flip burgers, it's not just a way of saying I did something different.
No, it was funny. I was studying computer science, and before I went to computer science, I flipped burger for tuition and just as a part-time job. But there was something that I actually liked about flipping burger. It was really free. Like, I don't know how to say it. It was that type of work. It was something that I enjoyed. I wouldn't say I had a lot of fun, but I had nothing else to do when I dropped out, so I was a flip burger. Being an Asian family, you know, my parents nagged me nonstop for 2 years. At first, they told me to go back to computer science, finish the degree. And after they gave up and they said, you know, just get any degree. We'll just get something over with. So that's when I thought...
The paper qualification is necessary.
Yeah, just get a paper qualification. And that's when I decided, you know, maybe I should do art. I thought art was easy. I thought art was something that I could just not study. I just doodle something and I could get my paper and just get it over with. And I got into a classical animation program in Canada. That was actually a pretty famous school too. It's called Sheridan College of Animation. And I kind of cheated my way in to be, now I could say
what
after.
Do you mean? What do you mean you cheated your
way
in?
Well, usually for art course, they usually need you to do a portfolio, you know, so you have at least a basic skill. So I got my friends to help me a little bit. You know, I just kind of traced over a picture. You know, I do know a little bit, but yeah, I'm pretty sure my friends that helped me kind of helped me really get in. So yeah, now that I graduated, I could really say that. But after I got in, that's when I realized I really liked what I did. Like, at the beginning, I thought, you know, just, you know, oh, the homework's so easy. No more math, no more algebra, calculus. I just draw something and I get a grade, yay. But it was something about art that, yeah, really helped me understand myself as well through this process.
Well, I guess for most of us, when we enroll in a university, we try to get a paper qualification and we think about a job.
Right.
At least in Asia, yeah?
Yeah.
Being somebody with Asian parents, you know what I mean. But at the same time, I think that a university education is about finding out who you are and where you fit in.
Right. That's what I thought too, because, you know, when I was in computer, you know, I didn't know what I was looking for in life, because I just thought I'm doing the right thing because that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm supposed to get a job. I'm supposed to study in a field where everybody's studying in. You know, I just thought that was the step that I had to take in life. But then when I got into art is such an expressive thing. It's a lot deeper than I think most people understand. A lot of people, you know, they see art just something doodle, something casual, you know, put some pictures on a paper and then, you know, you sell it for whatever. But I think art in general is a lot more about self-expression. When I was in art, I think there's people that took art because they just want to get a degree like me. But even a lot of people that took art because they really love art, which is also me, what I became after I got in. So those people that really like art, you know, it's really about self-expression. And that type of experience you can't really get in any other field other than an artistic field, like music, you know, computer, you know, you could be so hardworking, but it's not about self-expression, especially when the final product is a team collaboration, a company. But art is really about just yourself expressing.
Do you think this impulse to express yourself is something you, or is that something that most of us have, that many of us have somehow killed it?
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think most people have a dream, and I think most people, because they try to follow the expectation of society, they kind of suppress that dream. And I think it's really hard for everybody to really live that dream because of the realistic, you know, lifestyle. You know, you got to earn money, you raise a family. So I think everybody has it. Some has it a little bit stronger than others. After now that into art, I talked to my parents again. They actually saw that in me ever since I was a kid. Especially my parents told me when I was, I think, 4 or 5, I was making that poker card tower, you know, by stacking up cards and trying to make this pyramid really tall. I think I was like 5 or 6.
House of cards.
House of cards. I kept making it. It kept crumpling. But then my mom told me I spent like maybe 7-8 hours just keep making. I was crying and I just kept making. Like, I always had this kind of rebellious side of me that I have to do what I want. There's something, my parents said, when I want to eat ice cream, you know, most people, they will whine and cry about ice cream. But I would literally say I want to eat ice cream for like maybe like 20 hours from morning to until 10,
until I get it.
So I had this like really self-drive in me to do something that I really wanted. So I think that was actually part of my personality all
along. So the IT just didn't quite work.
Yeah, the IT just didn't work. Like, I just couldn't sit there, you know, just typing all day, figuring out like, yeah, I just didn't get it. Yeah.
So it was through your art that you got into these gaming companies where you were designing or drawing and painting.
Yeah, it was when I got into college, I had a really good friend that was really, really good at art. I think he was what brought it up for me as well. He has such a big passion in art. He's actually very successful right now, but he's such a true artist that he wouldn't do art for money at all. Like, you could pay him, like, I don't know, $10,000. If he's like lazy or he just doesn't feel like, he would just say, oh, I don't really want a job. But he's really awesome and he got me into art. What happened was even though I really liked art when I was in university, I didn't have a clear direction. I didn't know what type of jobs I could do. When I graduated, because I didn't know what jobs I was going to do, I just took a postgraduate course for art, just to study more before I figure it out.
When you said you took a postgraduate course, that required you to do some art history and all of that?
It was actually more like advanced animation. Like, I was just in the classic animation. And during that time, that's when my friends from the classical animation, there was a lot of Koreans in my class. They went to Korea, and then just one day, they messaged me, hey, Andrew, you want to work in Korea? The story is actually a little bit funny. I just said, sure. And then my friend went offline. And just for some reason, maybe a month later, I got a package in my mail of like this form that I had to fill out with my information for visa and stuff like that. Then I called my friend, hey, what's going on? Like, why? What is this? He said, hey, but you said, sure, you want to come. You know, I said, sure, as in, you know, tell me a little bit more about it. I think, you know, my friend, they all knew I was pretty adventurous. I was easygoing. So my friends, just come over here. At that time, I was still saying, I was like, okay. So I didn't really think too much. I filled in the paper.
Andrew Howe, the creator of the HJ story. Coming up, Andrew's journey from Canada to South Korea and the birth of his first volume of the HJ story. This is Front Runner Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Everybody could call someone an artist, and that person might actually not really be an artist. No one might think someone's an artist, but he himself might think he's an artist. I think, you know, it's not, because this artist is such a vague idea, no one could really tell you if you are or not other than yourself.
You're listening to Front Row in the Bigger Picture, and you are also listening to Andrew Howe, the man behind the 3-volume collection of the HJ story. Andrew has been sharing with us his journey from being undecided what to study to where he is now.
I think, you know, my friend, they all knew I was pretty adventurous. I was easygoing. So my friends, just come over here. At that time, I was still studying. I was like, okay. So I didn't really think too much. I filled in the paper. And maybe a month later, the actual visa came. I guess he was kind of in charge of the hiring department. At that time...
He was in Korea?
Yeah, he was in Korea. To make it a little bit short version, like Project wanted an artist that was like half Asian style, that is half Western style. Yeah, they wanted something in between. So I guess I was kind of the candidate for them. So when the visa came, I was actually pretty surprised. I told my parents, I think maybe a month and a half before I came to Korea, that I was going to Korea. And even the day when I landed in Korea, that's when I realized, oh my God, I'm not going back. Like, this is not a vacation. Like, I just packed one luggage. I didn't know what was happening. My friend, like, I think he took it so casually that I said, what do you have to get ready? You know, just come. You don't need anything. You could get everything here. Clothes are cheap. Computer are cheap. So I was like, okay. So I packed as if I was going for a weekend vacation, like to somewhere. And I started working in Korea for now 10 years now.
You talk about a friend just now. You admire him because he's an artist. In your mind, what is an artist?
In my mind, artist is someone that really follows the passion and strives for creativity and self-expression. I think there's a lot of different definitions of artists. Like most artists, friend around me, a lot of them, they strive for skill-wise, you know, technique-wise, in terms of ever improving, you know, getting better and better. I think that is a career as an artist as well. But my definition is a little bit more focused towards just really expressing yourself and doing what you love. I think artists doesn't even need to be...
skillful?
Yeah, that's something that I recently, personally, I think I've come to conclude for myself. It's not a skillful. Like, the seeking for skill, I think, is so tiring and so endless. And in the end, you kind of get lost raising a skill because you compare it to others. And the path becomes really blurry when you just compare if you're better or worse. When art, I don't think it's really about that. It's really about, you know, you could draw really badly, but, you know, if you express yourself, if people like it, if you express yourself, if you have fun, I think that's all really matters.
In the context of the expression, though, do artists express differently, or that their ideas are somehow different from us? What makes an artist different from somebody, let's say, I doodle, and in the doodling, I'm expressing myself. I draw people in strange gestures and positions and all that kind of things. But I don't think of myself as an artist.
Okay.
From what you've been saying to me, what makes an artist?
I think only the person that doodles will know. Like, everybody could call someone an artist, and that person might actually not really be an artist. No one might think someone's an artist, but he himself might think as an artist. I think, you know, it's not... because as artist is such a vague idea, no one could really tell you if you are or not, other than yourself. So I guess when your question...
Then I'll put that question to you. Right. Are you an artist?
I think I'm getting there. I think I have a personality. I think artist is a personality that fits me really well. I'm still exploring what it means to be an artist. And I don't know if I'll ever come up with the answer. Maybe the part of being an artist is actually searching for the answer until the day you die. And
great. Right. It's just searching for the answer. Then what are your questions?
My question every day is really, why am I doing this? Do I enjoy doing this? And I think that's really the main question. Am I enjoying this? Like, that is such a simple question, but yet it's such a complicated question. Before I was artist, you know, I was doing computers, for example. Like, I think it's really easy to forget in everyday life if you're enjoying what you're doing. If you're doing it just because you have to do it, or there's at least some type of passion. Obviously, we can't do everything that we feel like because of the realistic world that we live in. But I think it's really important you ask, am I enjoying this? Am I doing this for a reason that you believe in? And I think that's a question that I ask myself every day. And as part of, I think, the artistic journey of expression and art and everything.
How would you describe what it is you do? Sure, we can call it cartoons.
Right.
We can call it something else. But what do you call them?
I think to answer the question, I should talk a little bit about before I actually focused on HJ Story. A few years ago, I actually founded a game company in Korea. I started off with a few friends and we got investment. And at a point, it was like 60, 70 people in our company. So it got quite huge. The game company at the beginning, I really wanted to create a really creative company and just do something really artistic. That was always my goal. The reason I started the company was because after working in our company, I realized that a lot of them were really commercialized, and I really wanted to express something personally. And I think after working for so long, I realized that it's so hard to be that artistic creative when there's so many business involved. When there's, you know, there's so many realistic aspects, you know, you have to report to an investor, you got to make games for the consumer, what everybody wants. When I really realized that, you know, it just can't work that way. And I was giving out a bit of my soul every day working there. Even though it was my company, I felt everyone was really my family, and I really loved the place. Like, there was nothing that it was wrong. It was just not me. So that's when I actually decided to leave the company. It took me quite a long time to decide. I left. And this is because of HA Story. You asked me, what is HA Story? It is actually, a lot of people, they just think it's a really webtoon. Well, webtoon means webcomic. I learned a lot about myself through HA Story, because at the beginning when I did HA Story, it was just little doodles for my wife, little cartoons that I did. And I ended up really enjoying drawing something. I wasn't earning any money from it. People actually, like especially at the beginning, people didn't know it exists. People didn't care. But I was going home doodling every day. You know, I was inspired by my girlfriend back then, wife now, obviously. But I just really loved doing it. And the more I looked at it, I was really enjoying something I was doing for free. It wasn't that easy. I had to actually draw. No one really cared about it. But what is this that makes me really interesting?
You cared about it.
Yeah, but I cared about it. I think that's when I got the first kind of little insight on maybe this is what art was supposed to be. And then when HA Story got a little bit more popular, that was still before I quit. And it was able to connect with others in a way that I was never able to connect before. Like before I worked in the game industry for 10 or so years, I would draw these really, you know, cool looking monsters, superhero, like some paintings that I did for like, you know, 20, 30 hours, really detailed. You know, people would go, wow, this is really cool. This is really awesome. But at HA Story, it connected it to people in a way that they would email me with a very, you know, sentimental message, how it really touched them, how it changed their life. You know, it changed their life in the point, nothing like drastic like that, but it made their day.
It made their day.
Even that little slight thing of making their day, I realized, you know, I enjoyed doing something that was able to also connect with someone else. You know, HA Story, I would even admit this whole love thing is a little bit cheesy and sappy in some way. I even feel it. But then just the fact that it was just so awesome, like for me to not even think about the financial part and still be having fun and connecting with everybody. I think that's what, you know, HA Stories really is. And that's what made me really decide to leave my job. And I think to try to at least pursue this and see how it goes.
You describe the cartoons as sometimes cheesy.
Right, right.
Very sugary.
Yeah.
Is that your worldview?
It's kind of funny. I'm actually very not, if you ask my wife, I'm not
sentimental.
I'm not sentimental in a way that I say a lot of sweet things. I would do all these little cutesy things. I think HA Story also started because I'm not verbally expressive or physically expressive. I don't really talk too much. Like, I'm not a very chatty type of person. And so I just put everything in drawing. I guess that depends if that is me. Those are the views I believe in. Do I really act as cute as a character? I don't really think so. But they are definitely views that I believe in and how I hope the world should be. And HA Story, for anyone that's seen it, is quite simple. And they're not even like comics where it's quite long. It's just really simple image. I guess I just want even the world to be just really quite simple. Nothing has to be that complicated. And yeah, just, you know, simple, cute. If you look at it, even though, you know, most people might think it's kind of a little bit sugary, cheesy, if it gives you just that even little bit of smile, you know, I think that worked. Yeah.
No, they remind me of a cartoon. I don't know what year it was. Basically, it says love is, and you've got two little, one man, one woman, and all kinds of things and situations they can do, but it's only in one frame. You remember that one?
Yeah, I think so. Because actually, somewhere down the HA Story, someone was saying, hey, isn't this, they actually mistaken HA Story as a version of the love. I forgot the artist. I remember something.
It's called Love Is.
Yeah. It was a really big thing. And that's when I started searching for this love is that people were saying, oh, it looks similar. And it does really look similar. Love is. Because H.J. Stowe, I think the earlier episode especially, I focus on what love is, and it was really simple, simple line too. So it was actually, there was a lot of similarity. At the beginning, I think some people even thought it was, you know, it was a copy of that version. But I think in general, you know, love is basically similar for everybody that, you know, that experience what love is. Like, anyone that draws it will probably express it similarly.
The nice side of love.
Yeah, the nice side of love. Yeah.
I think her name
is Kim Cass. Yeah, I just want to credit her in case I forgot, yeah.
Where did Kickstarter come into all of this for you?
Kickstarter, I always wanted to make it into a book, but I was actually quite scared of Kickstarter. You know, I saw all these success stories. I didn't know how they succeeded. You know, I thought they were like celebrities, you know, that's why. So I always wanted to make a book, and I didn't really dare try doing Kickstarter. I didn't want to like totally fail. But then,
having sold your company or having sold your shares in the company, you would have enough money to kind of just do this on your own.
Actually, when I left the company, I didn't exit by selling any shares. I actually gave up my shares. Probably wouldn't get too detailed into that, but I actually didn't come out of the company rich because, you know, a contract, if I had to leave, basically I had to give up, like to keep things short. But I was financially okay because I did a lot of freelance work and everything. So when I started Kickstarter, I actually was going to do the book no matter if it succeeded or not. Like, I didn't want to let Kickstarter affect what I wanted to do. So I made sure I kind of saved up enough that I would able to launch it even if it failed, and I just decided to launch it. And the response was really overwhelming. I was really surprised. I think that's when it really let me know that people appreciated what I was doing. That was the first time it ever was that, you know, people liked it on Facebook and everything, but Kickstarter being financially supported, that's when I realized, okay, people would really support me to do what I do. And it went really well. I think that was the true start of it being a bit more than just a casual doodle. That's when, yeah.
Where do you go from here? Because I'm aware that beyond the books, you also have all kinds of merchandise.
There's so many directions that I really want to go. Like, I quit my job last year. Originally, my plan for 2015 was to really figure out just to focus on H.J. Stowe and everything. But that got a little bit delayed because after quitting, I realized there was a lot of stuff that I had to wrap up. And then I went to Canada to visit my parents. And so everything got a little bit delayed. But merchandising is just really one part of it. I wanted to try a little bit more on animation. I even want to go back to making a mobile app for the H.J. Stowe. There's merchandising, there's app. But most of all, I really want to focus on H.J. Stowe and creating maybe a little bit more, maybe behind-the-scenes stories of not the so cutesy side. Because I think after 4 years of doing the cutesy side, even I might be running a little bit out of idea. And I don't want to ever make it feel forced. So I want to maybe talk a little bit more about branching it off, maybe a little bit of side series for H.J. Stowe. Now, this time in Malaysia, I'm working with Kerouac Comics, you know, trying to really publish it to a wider audience. Because so far, I've been doing self-publishing on myself. So I'm working on publishing deal for translating to a different language as well. And I think there's a lot of directions that I'm trying to test first before figuring out exactly I should be doing. Yeah.
Where do I get your books?
Right now, the volume one is going to be in all major chains of bookstores. And
locally.
And I would actually even suggest everyone to check out locally rather than from my store, because the books on my store is published by myself, so all the costs and everything is much higher. But, you know, locally, one thing that I'm really happy, you can match the local market a lot more, and there's a lot more convenience, save on shipping and everything. So, yeah, you could probably find it at every bookstore.
All three volumes?
No, just one for now, but we decided to launch it. The next volume probably be a few months or half a year down the road. So just
it's just your volume one?
Volume one right now.
And it's published in what languages?
Right now it's published in English, but we're working on a Malaysian version as well, localized version.
Andrew Howe, the creator of the now three-volume H.J. Stowe. The third volume was recently published through pledges of a crowdfunding site. In fact, all three volumes of H.J. Stowe have been published under this very scheme. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.